We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We just can't hear him. All right, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to run through a wall.
You can't hear that?
Woo, baby. Man,
what up? What's happening? What's good, everybody? And welcome in to a DNBA show. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's rated sportsbook. That's good, yeah. Those are some interesting additions to the intro. Download DraftKings Sportsbook. Use promo code DNVR. A lot of ways to play. A lot of ways to win. I'm winning because I'm hanging with the fellas. Another show with the fellas.
Another show with the fellas.
No winner's lounge, no loser's lounge. Just a classic DNBA show today. We're going to go around the Euro, around the A, and then a classic mailbag. Does that sound good to everyone?
Sounds fantastic. Somebody says there's an echo kill.
I will check that out.
We'll check it out. To break this all down with me, joining live, phoning in from an undisclosed location, it's Harrison Wind.
Guys, I've been pouring over the DraftKings app, just looking for my DraftKings pick of the week. I'm excited to unveil it at the first break.
Oh, man, I'm so glad. First of all, I'm glad that we have it pre-ready to go, but I'm also very excited to hear it.
It's Harrison taking in adjusted 56.5-point line for Team Serbia. And a surprise edition from the boss today was not going to be on the show, and now he is. Everyone's happy.
I'm sure that sounded sarcastic.
No,
sounded like ironic.
I'm honestly not sure.
Well, I'm happy.
It's good to see you, Adam Morris.
Thank you so much, man. It's good to be here, and I'm excited to be a not host today.
Yeah, it's nice just to sit back and be in the analyst seat sometimes. I'll take over hosting duties. I'm Brendan Vogt, and fellas, there was no Team Serbia today, but there was some Eurobasket action that's dear to us and dear to our hearts, because King Vlatko was in action as Team Slovenia beats France 88-82. They take Group B. There are some implications there we're going to talk about in a second. Luka went off 47 points in 39 minutes, whatever. Vlatko had 6 points, but he had the game ceiling bucket. You can see we got it rolling here now background. He's going to take Rudy Gobert off the dribble.
Do you mean four-time defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert?
That's right. That's okay. Right. When in doubt, find King Vlatko.
Shot fake.
Off the dribble. Oh, mellow pull-up. Oh,
mellow pull-up. I like
Good
it.
Good night, Irene. Fellas, impressed, yes or no, Adam?
Yes. Like, here's the thing about it. Him hitting a shot, impressive because it's an important shot. That was smooth as hell. Like, that was, honest to God, a nice little, got him in the air, one dribble, pulls up short on his second step, so Gobert keeps going, he stops, stop and pop. That was actually a really legitimate, like, that's a guy that you, if I only saw that one, I'd be like, oh, that's like a lead ball handler, a lead scorer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what he looked like for that 5 seconds.
That's who you could go to in the crunch time. When he only had 6 points, but he has the game-sealing basket, stonks up or
Doesn't
down
matter.
After this game. Stonks up or down?
Stonks way up. Stonks way up. I could care less about his stat line. I could care less. Also, the fact that this was on Rudy Gobert's head, Like I've got to knock down the Timberwolves at least a couple spots in my power rankings after this shot, man. Because this is like flashback to Rudy Gobert in the Clippers series.
Oh, Flo's not going to be happy.
He's already unhappy. France did play well today, but Luka brought it, man. He turned it on. So Slovenia beats France. Wind, I know you've got some implications here. You've got a belief written down here in the game notes. Why don't you let it rip, man? What are you thinking?
What do I have down there? I don't even...
You believe... Oh. Tell you, that's a toss.
I believe that we're setting up for a Slovenia-Serbia Final Four game. Ooh. That's where we're headed. We're heading... You know, I don't want to jinx anything. I don't believe in jinxes, so I'll just say it. I believe we're heading for Serbia-Slovenia in the Final Four, Serbia-Greece in the championship game.
That's a near perfect setup. You're right. I do believe in jinxes, and I don't want to jinx it. I think we'll talk about this, obviously, on Friday's show. We'll really look at the entire bracket. It's kind of weird to do it, and then it changes. But it is looking like Team Serbia is going to have a pretty solid, difficult route to get to the gold. Even having, you know, should they have to play France or somebody like that, France down or Turkey yoke in the second round, it'd be tough. But I've said all along, I would be very happy with Greece, Slovenia, Serbia finishing 1-2-3, preferably Serbia 1, but I think that would be a really cool way for this to go to finalize. So I would be okay with that outcome.
I think when you're ranked as the top team, when you have aspirations for gold, obviously everyone wants the easiest path, but that's also, I feel like that's kind of a little Nug Life perspective too. Like,
so true.
You're going to have to play the best, man. And also we're interested in the legend making of Jokic here and going through the best, not just getting this gold with Team Serbia, but beating Doncic, Giannis, and I should say Team Slovenia and Team Greece right at the height of their powers. I just think for me, Wind, like that adds to the narrative. Obviously more reason to be nervous, but more weight behind the gold.
Well, part of what makes Eurobasket so great is that you have three of what arguably the top five players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like the top five consensus players, Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, Durant, Steph Curry. That's probably most people's top five in some order. Three of those guys are playing in this tournament.
Right.
That's pretty freaking cool.
It's really cool. And I think if those three guys are all there in the Final Four, again, my prediction before was I thought that Eurobasket this year would start to gain some new eyeballs. I said skyrocketed. I think I obviously was wrong on that. But just like more people paying attention. And we've created a little bubble. I think our audience has been paying a little bit more attention. But you get those three guys in a must-win game.
Right.
People, are you telling me people, and that would be Friday and Sunday, I think, respectively. It'd be great times. To me, that would be like, what else are you going to talk about, SportsCenter? What else are you going to talk about? Like, come on, man. Hype those games up. Get excited for them.
Yeah.
And it would just be so cool. And I think it would actually be great for international basketball as a whole just to say, hey, look who's in the Final Four. Those four guys. And by the way, the other side of the bracket would have, I think, Spain is the number one seed in that group. Billy Hernan Gomez, not the like most impressive guy to have been there, you know, to be to complete it. But who knows? I mean, just getting those three guys in the Final Four, I think, would be really cool and set up for some great storylines.
It's been a great tournament so far. Real quick, before we move on from Eurobasket, Team Slovenia, Wind, have they impressed you? Is it just Luka impressing you? Do you feel like you have an opinion of the squad?
Well, they're very good. They're in the toughest group, so like that's why their games have been a lot closer than Serbia's games, I feel like. Goran Dragic looks like a star in Eurobasket. He's a star when he's playing for Slovenia. He looks like one of the best players in the entire tournament. He is one of the best players in the tournament. He had two clutch steals tonight. He's an all Eurobasket defender. He looks really impressive to me. Like he is a guy that just, it seems like he's playing at a level at Eurobasket that's definitely above what he is in the NBA.
Yeah, it feels that way.
And he's very good in the NBA. I love him in the NBA. But in Eurobasket, he's a star.
Well, a quick note here. You know, our bar opening up on Friday. We have our big grand opening. Sunday becomes the elimination round. We will have the game on some TVs. We're probably going to be doing the post-game show right from not this studio. You guys don't know, especially our new audience, we have an actual bigger studio. This is our temporary one. We've been remodeling for the last 2 months. We should be in our main studio on Sunday, if not definitely by Wednesday, but I think by Sunday. So all of that is to say that's the first week of NFL. I look, guys, I don't make the rules here at the bar fully. I just have influence, but I can't change week one of NFL. We're going to be watching football, but Team Serbia will be on some of the TVs, so we will be able to watch it there. And then Wednesday, of course, if you, for whatever reason, get to take time off work and come down and watch in the middle of the day, we'll be here watching as well. So, but just food for thought.
Little teaser, little food for thought. Lithuania, big win over Bosnia, 87-70. Lithuania needed that one. They got it. Montenegro is about to take down Georgia. And Germany, 22-19 lead over Hungary after one. That should grow. This is an NBA show as well, believe it or not. It's the DNBA show. So we got a Denver focus. We've got some news from the association. Well, we've got a quote from the association. We've heard from Trae Young recently. Kale, if we can bring that quote up on the screen. Trae Young says that he will... Thoughts on playing with your former teammate back in AAU, MPJ, in the league one day. Trae Young says, it'll happen 100. Is that a guarantee? Wait, is this a guarantee? And is he right?
I mean, everybody knows when you throw that emoji out there, it's just facts.
It's law.
Look... those two guys, if you go back and look at their AAU highlights, it's ridiculous. I mean, some people think like that's one of the best AAU teams ever assembled. They certainly do. MPJ and Trae Young, like, they fit really well together, incredible offensively. I could kind of see it happening in Atlanta, not in Denver. Not happening in Denver. In Atlanta, though, look, I think – like, MPJ's here for this season. We'll see what happens going forward. Brightest timeline is he's on Nuggets to win a championship here and, you know, is the player we think he can be. But I'm just saying, Atlanta has an opening at small forward. Like, they have their point guard. They have John Collins, Clint Capella. There's an opening there at the three. Like, that's the first thing I thought.
Would they be a good duo, Adam, MPJ and and Trae Young?
I mean, they were a fantastic one in the AAU level. Course, I know that's different, but look, defense in the NBA to win a championship, you just I think it's hard to have two negative defenders. Trae Young may be the worst defender in all the NBA for reasons that are beyond his control. Man, what are we doing here with this guy? We're going to put you back here. So for reasons beyond his control, but shooting makes offense significantly easier. They're two of the best shooters in the NBA, especially when you just talk about the gravity of their shooting. So look, would it work? I don't know. Maybe. Here's where I go with it. I don't like doing the trade game with players I like.
Yeah.
MPJ, I like. Same. I'm an MPJ fan. My brightest timeline features the Denver Nuggets winning championship with Michael Porter Jr. being his best self and fully integrating into the Denver Nuggets system in a way that like creates perfect synergy. They also have Bogdan Bogdanović over there. So now I could just say, you're going to get traded, if you are saying, hey, if Trae Young pulls a LeBron and says, I'm leaving unless you get my guys, just say it. It wouldn't be the worst scenario.
I would say it has to happen after the titles. We want to see the titles.
Strong agree.
But then you get the Jokic, Doncic, Giannis team. And then
Bogdan's on that team,
and
maybe?
Then Bogdan's on that team, and then Atlanta builds the all Hooper team.
The all Hooper team,
and
I like it.
Right in the world, I just feel like that's a good ending.
I'm telling you, that is part of my brightest timeline now. Is this Nuggets? It's like the Michael Jordan. You get the three-peat. That's Murray, Jokic, MPJ. And then maybe you get a second three-peat later on after Jokic's water polo stint. You get one that's with Luka Giannis. I don't know. Just BSing here.
Well, that is a bright timeline. Any bright timeline includes our dear friends in Los Angeles struggling. And as we know, boy, did they struggle last season. It's not looking good, but a key acquisition. They brought Pat Beverly in. And Pat Beverly is good for defense, for energy, but mostly, fellas, for quotes. Let's roll the tape.
You'll be playing with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
They'll be playing with me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I made the playoffs last year. They didn't. That's the difference.
Have
guys started talking yet?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I'm glad that, you know, we get a chance to play with each other. And, you know, anything else, I'm excited to see it go on. I'm excited to, you know, to get the battling going.
You'll be playing with LeBron James.
All right, it's going to loop there. They're going to be playing with me, he says. I made the playoffs last year. They didn't. Mm. There's a difference. I mean, that's not that, like, factually, that is correct.
Checks out.
Pat Beverly in LA. Adam, does this feel right to you? Does this feel wrong to you? Where are you at? Where are you at with Pat Beverly?
I hate it.
Oh, no.
I hate that he went to the Lakers. And, like, look, he's I love to hate Pat Bev, meaning, like, I respectfully hate him. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I root against him. And I wouldn't even necessarily want him on the Nuggets because I just, like, it's a little extra for me. But but I will say, his quote, spot the F on. It's funny because it's coming from a guy from Chicago, like an American player. But to me, this is such a, like, it's such an American question. You're going to play with them. Like, you're going to join and help them. He's like, no, man. And he threw it back in an ironic way. They're playing with me. And we all laugh. When what an absurd comment. Right. Is it any more absurd to say LeBron's playing with Pat Bev than to say Pat Bev is playing with LeBron? Not actually. Isn't it a basketball game? They all have a role. So I love that he threw this back at him. I think Pat Beverly understands his role. Like, he understands who he is. But I just love that he's pushing back on this. LeBron, you're old. This isn't the LeBron show where we all just have to be characters. I love him kind of already trying to establish that. Not going to work.
Yeah, he
but
said
I love the effort.
Yeah, he said we are going to have to play with each other.
The correct way to say it.
What's your instant reaction to this scintillating quote?
My instant reaction is I'm wondering if Pat Bev is a double agent sent into LA to break up the Lakers.
Let's go.
That would help the Lakers, though, probably at this point.
I can't imagine LeBron's too happy about this quote.
Of course he's not.
I bet LeBron's like, dude, you won the play-in tournament and lost to the Grizzlies in six games. Yeah, you made the playoffs, but come on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Of course, like, if that was said about Jokic, and, like, first of all, I would ask that question that same way. Again, like, I don't think the reporter was being out of line.
We've done it. Yeah,
we've done it. I just think that Pat Beverly is noticing the absurdity of it, and then he's, like, one of the weird guys that doesn't have the grace to say, like, whatever, I'll just let this slide.
He has the pride to not let it slide.
He picks his battles in that he picks every battle.
Every single one of them.
But I do, like, I'm telling you, there is a thing of... Of course LeBron doesn't like it. Should he not like it? No, he should get over himself. If somebody said it about Jokic, he'd be like, yeah, it's true. I'm going to play with him too.
Yeah.
We're playing with each other.
Well, look, I do think that that's part of the appeal. Like, I really got a lot out of Jeff Green's answers about why he left Brooklyn and why he came to Denver. And I do think in Denver, you've got to win. You got to sign on with one of those guys. But you're not, like, if Pat Beverly didn't like that question, he's going to have a long season playing in Los Angeles alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis, where, I don't know, I just think maybe you can focus on yourself and your game and your team in certain other markets. And maybe, hopefully, that becomes increasingly appealing to the sell swords of the league like Jeff Green, you know?
It's so funny, man, because I always think of that Austin Rivers quote where he was blown away that Jokic would move to a smaller basket to accommodate his workout. And right. I'm always thinking, like, even though it is a nice thing to do, it shouldn't be so abnormal that it's like something you wrote in your journal that day. Like, unbelievable. Right. Superstar player shared the court with me.
Yeah.
What an incredible guy.
Like, Mom, he let me shoot
with him. Like, oh my God. But it just shows you how ridiculous the NBA is.
And I actually think we got two Pat Beverly links there.
Oh, my God. We got another Pat Bev.
I just realized that myself. Of course, a lot of talk, Pat Beverly in. Is Russell Westbrook out? Are they going to fit together? How are they going to fit together? Well, here they are. Here they are, guys, dapping each other up. So clearly.
Everything's all good. Oh, yeah. Pat Bev
ruined his knee, right? Like, he hurt him back when he was with Oklahoma City.
There's
like
a real backstory.
There's not even just a, we've talked trash with each other. He, like, kind of effed up one of Russell Westbrook's best chances to win a championship.
Yeah, it was supremely messed up and uncalled for play.
Yeah, so, like, there's actually some real bad blood. But I will say, both of those guys are tough. Both of those guys are dogs. Both of those guys, like, I don't think they're all about the right things. Like, I'm not trying to give them the A-plus rating on everything.
Yep.
But I do think they are A-plus competitors. In that, I honestly think this. Now, the injury, who knows? But both of those guys are willing to be hated by their opponents. And right. now, and they were opponents and now they're teammates. And there's just something too, like, I like when guys who hate each other get teamed up together and it's like, hey, what do you know?
Plus they play in such like a stabilizing organization. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, totally, man.
There's no, like there, drama yeah. never grows. Or...
Also, let's be real. They're not going to play together.
That's right. Okay. Every
Westbrook's out of there. Come on, man.
Every 12 months, we've got a new once in a lifetime prospect in the pipeline. This one, at least I hope, is once in a lifetime. There's got to be a limit on how big and coordinated people can be.
Mm.
But there's a Victor W link here in my rundown.
This is ridiculous.
This is Victor Wembanyama, the projected number one pick, will face off against projected number two pick Scoot Henderson and the G League Ignite in a pair of ESPN televised games outside Las Vegas, October 4 and 6. Fellas, we're going to Vegas.
We're going
there's,
to
there's another there's another tweet that says he measured in at 7'4" in shoes.
Oh my god, 7'4", man! With an 8-foot wingspan, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Is there a?
I think I'm out on him as a prospect. I think he's too tall. Like actually, I think I might be out on him.
There has to be a limit, right? On how, I mean, Zion in a different way kind of pushed. At a certain point, how much bigger and longer while maintaining coordination and endurance and durability? Like, there's got to be a ceiling on this, no?
For sure there's got to be, and he probably exceeds it. I mean, look, we've just seen it. There haven't been that many examples of players that tall and that mobile that, like, make it very long at all. And also he's had some injury issues here. I will say the most interesting thing about Victor W, though, and again, I don't have a full scout on him, but we've just, he's so popular that you see like different highlights. And I saw somebody talking about, he's kind of billed as the next KD, 7'4" KD, when he really should just be billed as the modern era's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, meaning that outside touch and his ability to handle are cool, but that shouldn't be the featured aspect of his game. He's going to dominate by being 7'4" with an 8-foot wingspan and great touch around the basket. And he could be one of the all-time great scorers as a post-up, low-post player who also can pick and pop and do some of the stuff, but it's not featured. And I kind of like, to me, that's when it clicked in my mind for him. Like, I know he'll be a great defender because how tall he is and he has a jumper, whatever. But to me, it's like, no, how does a player like Jokic, who can't jump over a phone book, how does he block that jump hook?
Right.
When it's released higher than what Jokic can even jump? That to me is where you're like, oh yeah, that's how he would be a great player, not by crossing over three times, a la Thon Maker back in 2011 in high school.
His highlights are almost anticlimactic because it's at the youth level, there's nothing you can do about him around the rim.
Right, so he's
finishing in these weird ways, but you're right. The takeaway is, you know, athleticism and strength aside, like that is something he can do at any level. He's just too big. So this guy, my brain kind of breaks thinking about what he's going to look like on a high level court. You know, what he's going to be asked to do, what he's capable of. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Should we hit a break, Win?
Yeah, let's do it here. Game time tickets, you guys. Game time tickets. You got to buy tickets through Game Time through the link in the YouTube description. So
this is our newest partner.
Our newest partner. I'm so excited to partner up with these guys because now I have my go-to site for tickets.
Yep.
Every sporting event, Nuggets, Broncos, Rockies, Avs, concerts as well. It's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score deals on sports, concerts, shows. You can get great tickets for super cheap. That's what Game Time's all about. If you love us, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us, guys, is by buying tickets through that Game Time link in the description. You can save so much money, up to 60% off Game Time tickets. So make sure you have the Game Time app. Make sure you buy tickets through the link in the description for Nuggets games this season. 15 million people have downloaded the app and scored tickets at 60% off. Really good tickets as well. So make sure to check out those Game Time tickets today. Also, at DraftKings Sportsbook, we made it, guys. The NFL is back. The first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And then as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code DNVR. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
I just sent you a little thing here real quick, Kale, if you want to pull it up. I just added. Did you see it?
I did. Please pull that up.
I mean, it's jersey season, jersey reveal season, guys. The Detroit Pistons have a new jersey. Let's take a quick look at it here.
I have a new favorite quote.
Oh, yeah?
It's an exclusive.
These are terrible.
At the Athletic NBA, this tweeted out by the Athletic James Edwards III. First look at the Pistons 22 statement uniform, inspired by a voicemail rant left by diehard Pistons fan Coach Ice Hardy in 2020, quote, "We need some dog ass uniforms," end quote.
These are awful.
These
are terrible.
I wish that Vogt's drunk voicemails to the Nuggets would inspire like new uniforms.
I keep leaving them. Nothing's happening.
We should get next time.
They've been drawing up these uniforms since 2020.
Yeah,
the last two plus years, and this is what they came up with.
They're like, all right, blue stripe, red stripe. What do we think here?
He's going to leave another voicemail, guys. He's going to leave another voicemail. He's not happy.
He's like, dog ass was good, not ugly ass.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean piece of shit uniforms. Yeah, I would have said that.
Dog ass, not dog shit. Damn it.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Man. All right, well.
They're not for us, you guys. That's thing. Fine. It's not for us.
Well, makes it easier to make fun of them. Let's hit a mailbag.
Oh, man, let's get some mail.
Hey, I don't know if you guys saw that deleted AP reporter tweet about the NBA wanting to announce plans of expansion to Seattle and Las Vegas during the preseason. It has not been confirmed. It has, in fact, been deleted. Nonetheless, November in DK wants to know, how would an expansion affect the West and the Nuggets?
I mean, it would suck. So you went through the roster here. I know you have that lit written down because usually what is it? You protect like 8 or 9 players. I don't know what it would be for the league. There's so many guys. So the question becomes, would your team be one of the ones that has a great 9th or 10th best player that would end up, you know, going? Probably. Denver has some good players like at the end. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is Zeke Nagy at that point vulnerable? And what would happen to the Nuggets this year? Like, I know nobody thinks the range of outcomes for a player like Zeke Nagy are so wide, but admittedly, if you didn't have him at all at your disposable, that's like one less player you have.
Right.
So I think so. I think if you went through the roster of all of the NBA and looked at every team's 9th best player, Denver has a top 10 9th best player.
When do you feel like you know the eight guys you would protect in an expansion draft?
5 starters, no question.
Sure. Done.
Yeah, for bones. Sure. I was actually thinking about MPJ with his contract. Do you even think you'd need to protect him?
Man, what a galaxy brain thing. That like
5D chess. Right?
That is 5D chess to say, you know what? What if we got off it? We didn't get anything back, but we got off his money. I don't think it works that way.
I'm not even saying that. I don't think anybody would
pick him up.
I don't think any of the expansion teams would take him just because of that contract.
They might be able to get their franchise player in an expansion draft, which is an insane proposition.
If MPJ is not taken, you take him, man. Like if you're an expansion draft had him available, you have to take him. You're not going to win in the next 2-3 years anyway.
On the max, though.
There's a more of a it doesn't matter. Like you don't have money to spend them. You're not signing guys to maxes.
This is a
good And then point. On top of that, you're say there's this draft happens in 2 years. There's 3 years left on the deal. Likely he's an expiring contract in 2 years anyway, if not like a 2-year guy, 2 years left on his deal and he's a serviceable player. Like course that he would get drafted if he wasn't taken. I don't think the Nuggets would do that unless, of course, there was like another injury on top of this one or something. I don't think they would just like punt on his contract because just to get off the money.
Probably the 5 starters. Bones.
Yeah, Bones for sure.
Christian Brown. And then either Zeke Nagy or Bruce Brown as the 8th.
I agree. Yeah, that is interesting to think about. And those are two teams out west. So it's New Orleans and Memphis, likely. that would become Eastern teams?
The other thing is, like, everybody's all expansion. We need a team in Seattle. We need a team in Vegas. I don't care about expansion. Like, I'm totally cool if the NBA stays at the number of teams they have. Like,
I would almost prefer relocation.
I'm just not into it. I'm not into it as much as everybody else is.
Yeah, I get that. I would almost prefer relocation. Like, a team in Seattle sounds great to me,
Sounds cool. Yeah.
Wynn's like, I don't care. We don't have a market there. What do I give a shit? So, fair enough. Let's move on. Let's move on to our next mailbag question. Dayon wants to know.
There you go.
What do both Jamal Murray and MPJ need to do during this season to become all-star candidates? Wynn, what do you think?
Well, I think it's probably got to take the Nuggets being really, really, really good. And I'm talking like maybe Atlanta Hawks level good when Atlanta got their starters in the All-Star game that one year, to get both those guys in there. I mean, Jamal Murray seems the more likely one if you're just picking one of those guys to make the All-Star team. But the thing you got to think about is Donovan Mitchell is no longer in the West. That's going to free up a guard spot. Is that going to be Anthony Edwards who gets that? Is that going to be, you know, Jamal Murray? He could get that spot, but that's what you got to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also, is the first half of Jamal's season something that kind of sets a sub all-star precedent for various reasons? Who do you think is more likely, Adam?
Man, this one's so tough to me because the MPJ injury the Michael Porter injury is just such a mystery. Like, there's a chance in my mind. I don't know if this is legitimate or not, but there's just in my mind a chance that Michael Porter is 100% on October 18th when the season begins, and I feel pretty confident that Jamal Murray is not 100%. I think he's 100% healthy, but not 100% back in rhythm and everything.
Sure.
I don't know if that's a fair assessment or if that's just where my mind is. So I kind of gravitate more towards Michael Porter. Even though he has not been as close to Jamal in terms of making an all-star team, I just feel like there's a chance that right out of the package he's going and scoring 20 a game or 22 a game or something like that. And as you mentioned, the Nuggets are top seed. So I don't know. I could make an argument for both of them. I don't think it'll happen for either of them. Both of them would have to like have the career years, which I just think is hard when you factor in that they're coming back from injuries.
Yep. That's fair. I really want to say that this is Jamal's year because of the seeding, but there is that hiccup. But I think stay healthy. Where's Jamal? If they're a top three seed, Jamal averaged, what, 23 points a game, 24 points a game? How high does he have to get before you're like, yeah, he's definitely in there?
Yeah, that would be the formula, is that he's like somehow playing the best basketball of his career right out of the package. Because remember, the All-Star voting closes in like end of January. Like,
that's right. He would need to impress
his. Yeah. I think Michael Porter and Jamal Murray both are going to have their best basketball ever come March. But that's after the voting. Like, they'd have to play their best basketball in November, December, January, and that's just hard to expect.
Our good friend Peter, who's been a bucket since 88, wants to know, do you think MPJ has watched a second of Eurobasket?
Ooh, set a line here, an over-under.
Has he learned? And let's go with one half.
A whole half?
Over-under one half of Eurobasket.
Well, that's 20 minutes, because what if it was 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there?
Yeah, let's say 20 minutes.
Under.
I'm saying under because I don't think any NBA players are really watching Eurobasket. I think
that's strong true. Agree. Yeah.
They're catching the highlights on Twitter. I'm sure he's seen those. I'm sure he's seen Jokic dominating. I just don't think many NBA players are tuning in. That's not the sense I get.
Michael Porter is a true hooper. He really loves basketball. So I think that there is a like more so than most people. Like, yes. Michael Porter really loves basketball. So I think he's actually, to most people's surprise, more likely to have been watching than anyone else. Plus, he's got Jokic as his teammate. More likely than anyone. That being said, I'm with you on the broader point that is, I don't think NBA players are watching it. So I don't think that anybody is.
I am glad you answered it that way. I think there's, for like, you know, Porter probably won't get described as a student of the game, but I think it's going to be easily overlooked how much he cares and how hard he works. Yep. Like, basketball means a lot to Michael Porter Jr., just to be very clear. But yeah, I don't think he was watching Eurobasket. By the way, neither was I. last Eurobasket. So
great point.
Happy to be on the train now. I did skip one. Dusan Kos at Dusan Kos. I really like this one. This is a vibey question. What has to happen for Nuggets Nation to change their minds about DeAndre Jordan? I think we're all on the same page, but what does the bright timeline look like, fellas? Wind? Well, you get this one first.
The bright timeline. I mean, the brightest timeline is he's on the team throughout the entire season, which probably means that he's good enough to play. Can he play 10 minutes a game? You know, can he play 10 minutes a game and be totally average?
Just be a backup.
I think then you're okay. Yeah, then you're okay. You know, that's more than the Nuggets have gotten out of the backup center position in years past, before DeMarcus Cousins came here. So can he be okay? Can he just stay healthy? I think that's going to be a big thing. You know, just can he be available every time, you know, Denver plays? But he's not going to play a big role. He's going to play at most like 10, 12, 13 minutes when he is in the rotation. Just needs to be average.
Here's the thing about DeAndre that I think is the most frustrating, because I am one of the people that believes he just has been pretty atrocious over the last several years, not just this last year. He doesn't give a lot of effort. He's an old guy, man. Like he's older, like and he's a big guy. He moves around like he doesn't have the energy to go hard on defense. And there's just a lot of plays where he'll stand in the paint while a guy walks to 5 feet away and shoots an uncontested floater because he doesn't want to have to like do the cat and mouse game where you have to get out there. So for me, I look at it and I go, DeAndre Jordan's career. He played with Chris Paul, an exhausting person to play with for as long as he played with. He played with James Harden and Kevin Durant, exhausting place to be playing with those guys. The brightest timeline for me is he comes here, has an Austin Rivers-like revelation where he's like, you know what? This culture here is so special and so cool. You know what? I will try hard again. I am going to rewind the clock. Do I think he could be great? No, but no. I do think a large part of why he's not good is because he doesn't either have the will or the want to play hard defensively. And if he just gets those things back, again, I still don't think he'll be great, but maybe he will surprise us and be this guy that's just serviceable and more than anything, like this emotional charge of energy to the team when they need it.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that and say a nice little bromance with Bones, maybe some veteran words for the youngster. I don't really know if he's even going to be in this rotation, like from the jump. Like option A could very well be Jeff Green at backup five. Like I don't know if that's so... I don't know. Low expectations. But I like the question. Look, everyone is on the same page about the signing. We didn't love it. But he's here now. Maybe he plays well. Want to leave room for enjoying that, of course.
A lot of people asking about... Oh, go ahead.
No, go for it.
A lot of people asking about DeMarcus Cousins. We get this every show. Look, everybody knows he was a huge positive impact basketball player for the team last year. It should tell you everything you need to know that he was that for Milwaukee and they didn't keep him. He was that for Denver and they didn't keep him. So clearly everybody agrees that he's a great player. Everybody tries to make the calculation of how much DeMarcus is too much. And every team in the NBA so far has decided that 82 games is too much DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. Maybe, hey, is it even possible that Denver could sign DeMarcus Cousins in like April or February, like cut DeAndre and sign him and be like, okay, it's time. 20 games left. We can handle that.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. That'd be hilarious. I've written a lot about why DeMarcus Cousins isn't here. Just look at the wind chimes from this summer. You'll find out all the reasons why. But also with DeAndre, the leadership factor, I think, could be big. Like, can he be a guy who grabs somebody during a timeout and talks some sense into them? Like, he's going to be fine speaking up during huddles in the locker room and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's a veteran with championship pedigree. I think everybody in the locker room is going to respect him because of that. And so just from a leadership and chemistry aspect, I think there could be positives there.
It's going to be hilarious when we quickly learn one weekend that he's the coolest person of all time. And just teams just can't bring themselves to get rid of him. Okay. Nino Hinoguin, or Hinoguin, Nino wants to know, after a trip to Sombor, Joker's hometown, will there be a trip also to Jamal and or Cale Makar's hometown?
We're going everywhere.
We're going everywhere. Well, listen, I really hope there's, I don't know about those trips specifically, but it felt like a success to me, fellas. I'd love to hit the road again.
Yeah, the only problem is none of these other guys' hometowns are nearly as cool as going to Serbia. That's the only problem.
It's not quite the same sell on the documentary with Kitchener.
It is funny. Like, we actually have talked about this, and the two that we have come to is like going with Bones to Wilmington, which would be Delaware, which would be incredible, and then going obviously to Kitchener. There are ways to do it that would be compelling. Like, of with course. Jokic, there was a hook. They're playing the team Greece, you know, like Greece in the World Cup qualifiers. You know, there was like things that were coming together for it to be a thing. Trying to figure that out for somebody else, I think, is a little challenging, but not impossible. And let's be honest, man, that was a great trip. And I have confidence that if we were to do one of those, we could pull it off and make it something very, very special. So,
of course,
yeah, there was something. I'd love to do it to Canada or Wilmington. It'd be awesome.
Awesome. Kitchener, like, Toronto is not that different from Denver or from the U.S. Like, there is a Serbia, Belgrade, very different, right? Like, extremely different. Like, Kitchener, you know, there's going to be some like crossover. Like, it's not that every meal we'll have out there is like, wow.
Yeah, Dev Likes may not hit quite the same. It may not hit quite the same. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, there's something unique about the Serbia experience.
But nonetheless, we're not ruling it out.
I love the question, yeah, because whatever it is that we just did, still don't know how to describe it. Sign me back up for another one.
Bronislav says Kitchener has a huge Serbian community. We could just go there and have more Pieskavica, more Shavska.
Why not? Meetup number three. This one's in Kitchener. Shout out Serbia. Okay. Jackson Overstreet wants to know, well, he hasn't been able to watch any of the Euros. Is there a player, either Serbian or another team, that you think needs to be in the NBA now? Anyone that the Nuggets should keep tabs on?
Hasn't been watching the show recently, I take it.
I can't speak for Jackson.
There's been a lot. I mean, like, we've talked about the Serbian players who are mostly front of the mind. Rather than give specific names, we've talked about, you know, Kalinic and Lucic and Marinkovic. Like, we've talked about guys that you're like, could they, if the NBA were different, could they do it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing I thought when Tim Connelly was here and he found Torrey Craig and some of the other little diamonds in the rough that he had found mostly through Europe. I kept thinking, once you get the key guys in place, you actually only need ready now players, and you can usually get those guys to come over to the U.S. This is what, part of what happened with the Spurs. You can get those guys to come over to the U.S. if they, one, trust their role, trust the team the system is going to work for them. Like, you know, a player like Lucic, he comes over and he joins last year's Brooklyn Nets. He's going to have the worst time of his life. He's like, what the hell is this? This isn't even basketball. Like, what am I doing? My value? I just sit here and don't do anything? It would be a nightmare. Part of what sucked about things not working out for Faku is I do think there is a world in which the Nuggets become the team that people look at and say, I would only go to the NBA if I could play for the Warriors, sure. Nuggets, or Spurs, because those three teams I know are going to play basketball in a familiar way that I can excel in. And so I say that to say, watching Eurobasket, there's tons of guys that are like the A version of Vlatko. Like, we watch Vlatko and he looks so solid out there. He doesn't make mistakes. But there's guys that do all of that but are just better at it. And I do wish that there, and maybe it could still work out, where Denver is the club, the NBA team that brings those guys over on two-year deals because they all want to play for a little bit. Their dream is to be in the NBA, and it's like, hey, come over here. You know you're going to get to play the way you want, even if it's only for a couple seasons.
When, other than Yarmaz, any NBA guys you're seeing out there in this tournament?
Yeah. Well, the guy that's kind of stuck with me the last couple weeks is Tyler Dorsey with Greece.
Right.
We remember him from college, played in the Pac-12, played at Oregon, and has been playing overseas. Now he's on the Mavs on a two-way contract. He's got some, like, Jordan Clarkson potential. I could see him playing that kind of role in the NBA.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's had a really good tournament, and it's not – like, okay, sure, physically, maybe it's not quite the same thing as the NBA, but the intensity of it and the weight of it and his role on the team alongside Giannis, that's a step up from college. Like, he's going to walk into the G League on that two-way and feel very confident. So I think he's in there for sure.
There's also this guy on Georgia. Have you been watching Georgia at all, Vogt?
I have, actually.
Mamu Kalashvili.
Yes, he plays for the Bucks.
Yeah.
He plays for the Seton Hall.
He was there. He was in summer league, and he stood out quite a lot.
Mamu's good. Mamu can play.
So I heard this was actually a guy the Nuggets liked once upon a time. He's on a, I think, two-way with the Bucks,
yep,
or on like the Bucks G League team. He's like a 6'11". He's kind of like almost Ben Simmonsy, I feel like.
Whoa.
He's like a big but dribbles the ball up the floor.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's 6'11". I like him.
He was a good player for Seton Hall. I actually think he's going to play in the – he might carve out a role in the league. He's a good player. For Serbia, I don't know. Like, he's – I also he's a little over the hill. He's a little older. And I don't know physically how well it would work for Kalinic anymore. But as far as a guy who, like – can play the game of basketball at a high level, I would love that dude on
that's
the
your
Nuggets.
Guy
I just he's a play the right way guy. He's just a fun basketball player, man. There are a lot of at the end of this tournament we should do an our guys episode and just all bring a list of our guys from Eurobasket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd be really into that.
You know who's becoming my guys? Shangun. I'm impressed with him, man. He's good.
Of course.
Little Boris Diaw.
Tyson says DeYoung played well. By the way, DeYoung, Worthy DeYoung, is retiring from 5-on-5 basketball after this competition, but he'll make one last comeback with Team Netherlands' 3-on-3 team. Might be something fun to watch when the Olympics come around. Win, let's hit another break. Let's wrap up this mailbag and get back to watching basketball, because that's the only thing I've been doing with my life.
Football season is back, and the Mile High City is ready to see what's new this Broncos season. We drink Mile High City Copper Lager during the Nugget season. We're going to drink Broncos Country from Breckenridge Brew during the Broncos season. Broncos Country Pale Ale. Show off that colorful Colorado legacy with the Orange Crush logo and 100% Colorado ingredients. This is going to be your guys's. This is going to be our go-to beer for Broncos season. The Broncos Country Pale Ale from Breckenridge Brewery. You can check out the Breck Brew Beer Locator at www.breckbrew.com to find a Broncos Country Pale Ale near you. So make sure to pick up some Broncos Country Pale Ale during Broncos season. Ivaka TV. Ivaka TV, they're the GOAT. They're the GOAT now. They're going to be the GOAT in Colorado sports going forward. They've got tons and tons of channels that you get with an Ivaka TV subscription. You get Altitude Sports, AT&T Sportsnet, the NFL Network. You get the DNVR channel as well. Get the most regional content for the lowest price for sports in Colorado, all in crystal clear HD while using less bandwidth. 60 entertainment channels, including news and movies and more. Go to ivaka.tv/Colorado10. ivaka.tv/Colorado10. That gets you $10 off your monthly subscription. Ivaka TV is $25 a month plus a $5 receiver fee, but right now get $10 off that price for those first 3 months. Ivaka.tv/Colorado10. I'm also going to bring up a DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week, guys. The lines are out for Thursday.
Oh,
here we go.
Baby.
Big tease on this
one. Final Serbia group play game. They've got Poland.
Oh.
The line is 15 and a half. I am taking Serbia to cover.
Let's go.
Again. Let's go. 15 and a half. Here's what's interesting about that one. I don't think Serbia would tank. I think that D2, they're in group D. D1 might have the harder path. D2 may be the easier one. Serbia would not stoop low enough to they're when you're a favorite, come on, don't play those games. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
But would Poland? Poland, they know they're not a favorite. Would they say like, hey, the first two games we can get into the medal round, you know, the final four. Maybe they would try to game the system a little bit. So maybe we don't see full speed Poland tomorrow. Mm. I don't know.
That's my pick of the week. DraftKings pick of the week. I'm taking Serbia to cover tomorrow.
I did know Wind was taking them in the points. That I knew. I saw that one coming.
Of course.
All right. We are back. Real open-ended one, but a good one from Danny Markovich. What is our biggest takeaway from Eurobasket? That's a weighty question. Adam, do you think you have that distilled into any answer yet?
From Eurobasket? Yeah. I mean, my takeaway is that the basketball is really fun. I joke about this all the time. I love the Nuggets. I hate the NBA. There's so much of the NBA that bothers me. Eurobasket gets a lot right about the game. You know, one, the competition level is very good. Like, yeah. even though there's some blowouts, the games are very entertaining because I'm like, this is good basketball. Guys are competent at shooting, dribbling, running sets, like everything. They're just, it's not like silly. I don't feel silly watching it the way I do sometimes for like a March Madness or whatever. I'm like, all right, it's a little dumb. 40 passes, none of them went inside the 3-point line, and now a guy just threw up a brick. So there's that. But then it's things like this, like stoppages. The game goes quick. Hour, 45 minutes, you're through it. There's no like the last 3 minutes took 35 minutes of real lifetime. Like it's fast. It's quick. There's not a ton of BS, you know, going on. They call, what was it the other day? Somebody tried to take a charge in the backcourt. They called a foul on him.
Yeah.
Like on Jokic. Like it was one of those ones where in the NBA, letter of the law, he actually ran into him the pass.
Jokic and this
attack
for that.
And you're just like, well, this is dumb because we all know that wasn't a real basketball play. Guys flop. Technical foul. Like
and
I just
get on. And then they go,
Like there's just this, some of the BS that's permeated the NBA is not in EuroLeague in ways that you're kind of like, oh, this is fun. Games are smooth and just feel a little bit. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun. It's, as I mentioned yesterday on the show, it's basketball during the dead of the offseason. And like, who wouldn't like that? Like there's the alternative right now is nothing.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Wind, any big takeaways for you, man? That's so true. It was the WNBA, which also had some great finishes, by the way. I won't pretend to be a connoisseur of the league.
Yeah. No, to Adam's point, the game's going so quick is awesome. The biggest reason why is there's just no commercials.
I agree with
just
this.
Like,
I agree with
it's, that. It's awesome. I was watching one game the other day, and like this was a week ago. I'm like, why is this game going so fast? There's just no commercials.
There's just no commercials.
it's
great, it's, man. It's awesome. The flow of the game is really, really nice.
Yeah, the flow of the game, it's smooth. There's not a lot of stoppages. The Eurobasket refs, I don't think they're the best in the world. But
they're not.
And they definitely, there's a weird thing where they definitely seem a little, not dishonest. I notice this in the Olympics too sometimes when you're like playing the German team and the German ref is there. You're kind of like, all right, this is a little weird.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of
the
that.
The Georgia-Turkey game was like.
Yeah, it's a little questionable.
You know.
But whatever.
We'll gloss over it. I do think, by the way, fully agree with everything you're saying about flow of the game. My one bone to pick, too many reviews the last couple of days. Nix the reviews. I'm good on that.
I will say this, though, also. They allow a level of physicality that's higher than the NBA in a way that freaking love. That's the thing, is you can actually play defense.
I was thinking about this the other day. Are the NFL and the NBA the only leagues that emphasize defense yet illegalize it?
Like the NFL for reasons that are unsolvable, but the NBA for reasons that are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. But I love it. I've absolutely loved it.
It's fun, man. Fun.
My biggest takeaway, the NBA being a global game, we talk about, or the basketball, basketball being a global game, we talk about that as best represented at the top level talent now, but to Adam's earlier point, like the whole world is just better at this game than we've given them credit for. The teams that we would write off have scrubs, have players. The you know, even some of the worst, like I've sat down and watched Bulgaria and it's been fun. Like,
right.
You know, these guys can play, man.
I'm telling you, man, it's so funny when you look back at the Dream Team documentary and there's the teams where the guys are like wanting to take a picture during the game or this or that. They're just clearly, and you could tell, like, we're so far removed from that all of these, to your point, all of these teams have one or two guys that are at the very least NBA caliber, even if they're not in the NBA. Like, we were just talking about that Jan Madar guy. I mean, I don't know if he's an NBA player over time, although allegedly the Boston Celtics are like own his rights and really like him. But like, he's a guy that you watch and you're like, oh, he knows all about how to play. Sure. Like, that's an NBA caliber talent.
Sure.
In Vogt's body.
What's that supposed to mean? You
know, he's a little small. I'm just saying he's a little small.
You don't think I could make the league?
He's 6'3", man.
I fucking wish I was 6'3". Anyway, in anonymous submission, whoa, spicy. Which one is under the most pressure this season? MPJ, Murray, Bones, or Coach Mike Malone?
Man, this is a tough one.
MPJ, Murray, Bones, Malone. Who is under the most pressure? I'm going to say Malone.
Pressure is Michael Malone.
Yeah.
Just because you're at this point where if things don't go well, that's one of the questions you have to ask. Is it time for a new coach? I'm not saying at this moment that question is being asked. I'm saying if the season doesn't go well, that question becomes asked.
Right. What do you think, Wynn?
I'd probably say MPJ. You got the contract. You got the fact that he's got to prove he can stay healthy for a full season. look, putting guys under pressure because of their injury risk, it's unfair, but it's just kind of the reality. I feel like a lot of his injury stuff is obviously out of his control, but just the reality of the situation is he's got to live up to a max contract. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Sneaky pressure for Bones Highland, I think, just because he's going to have to play a bigger role than he did last year. And last year, you know, we didn't know what to expect with Bones. I thought he was going to spend a lot of the year in the G League. He ended up being, like, a lot of times throughout the season, one of the Nuggets' five most important players. But this coming season, real expectations for Bones Highland to be what Monte Morris has been at backup point guard, and that's be steady.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and that's why I like that he was included in this question. I think it's part of what makes it interesting, but it's got to be Porter. I mean, we were short memories now. Murray got that contract a year early. He hadn't earned it yet, and there was a lot. Even if you saw the vision, even if you believed in Murray, it was of much discussion that year. Plenty of pressure. He went out, and he played like a max player. Porter has had that chance taken away from him by his back, but if he gets it, he's got to go do it. I mean, I believe, like, the question really isn't, is he worth a max contract? It's, is he worth keeping around alongside Murray and Jokic to winning a title? But he's got that max contract, and so without a big year, the conversation just starts to steer in a whole nother direction. So it's a good question. Yeah. Also, it's Malone by default because he, I think, creates his own pressure. You know, I don't know if it necessarily comes externally.
By the way, I've heard, I think I can report on this. I've heard from a reliable source, Michael Malone had a surgery.
Oh.
Why he's not been able to go.
Oh, that's so, actually good to know. Yeah,
so there's a reason for him.
Because it would be very unlike him to not attend something like
that.
He
would always like attending that kind of stuff. So we'll see. Maybe he will end up out there at some point.
All right, let's wrap up with this. Fellas at HelloSummer333 wants to know, do we want Jokic to play less in the regular season this year, around 30 minutes, or do we prefer him to play more in order to get into his groove? It's an interesting one. Wynn, do you have any strong takes on Jokic's minute distribution?
Yeah, I mean, he played 33 minutes a game last year. I feel like that's the right amount for him. You know, yeah, maybe you'd like that number to be less, but I feel like that's probably about what he's going to wind up at this season, 32, 33 minutes a game. I think that's fine. It is going to be interesting coming off Eurobasket, though, because when is the championship game of Eurobasket?
Next Sunday, a week from Sunday.
So the turnaround time.
1 week. I think.
Is ridiculous. Yeah. The turnaround time from that to training camp, to the preseason. And we just have been, you know, talking about the Eurobasket schedule so much. 5 games in 7 days for the group stage. It does lengthen out in the knockout round. But still, the travel, just the practices, the constant attention, that's going to wear on you. So maybe early on in the season, his minutes are lower. But just kind of knowing how this usually goes, I'd say he's going to play pretty close to the way he did last season.
I mean, knock on wood here, if Serbia wins the gold medal, it would be Sunday night, and it would be in Berlin. Is that where the championship round is? Berlin. In Berlin. Yeah. So let's say you party overnight and with the team in Berlin, like this day. Again, knocking on wood here, but if this happens, I'm just trying to give you a timeline. Party overnight, fly back home to Belgrade on Monday. Monday or Tuesday, you end up doing, or maybe even Wednesday, some kind of rally, right? Like, because if they won a gold, it would be a huge deal that they got a gold. So you have some kind of rally in Belgrade that day on Wednesday. Media day is the following Monday, I believe. So Jokic either...
He's not making it back for media day.
He might not get him for media day. So Jokic,
he's beating the team in San Diego.
So either he ends up going on a little mini vacation, maybe just back to Sombor for a few days. Maybe he tries to go somewhere, you know, just get one last, because it's a marathon, man. Once the season begins, you're 8 months, you're kind of locked up. So maybe he gets a little vacation in, but no matter what, if he does arrive for media day, he'll probably be jet lagged. Think about how tired we were when we got in. At the very least, he will not have been adjusted to his new sleeping patterns.
And this little period we're talking about here, correct me if I'm wrong, I usually am. Is this where FIBA tries to stick the next round of World Cup qualifying games?
Is what?
In this period, in between the NBA getting starting up and Eurobasket finishing?
I think they're like in January.
Oh.
Oh, I think they're even more.
They're even further. Yeah. Okay, so, okay. I see.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm doing my math right. So from to the 18th. Yep, I am right. That is correct. So the 26th, I believe, is media day. So yeah, the 18th would be the championship. I mean, you're really just talking about, there's not a lot of wiggle room there.
No, there's not. Excuse me. All righty. Well, that's going to about do it for us, fellas. Another show with the fellas in the bag. You know what's up for the rest of the week.
We've got lounges. My wingspan look big when I do this.
We've got Team Serbia to cover.
Massive.
We've got an NBA season just around the corner. We've had so much fun, so much to talk about this offseason, and we're not done yet. So we'll see you. Are we doing a show?
Tomorrow. What do you mean, are we doing a show? They're playing Poland.
I don't even know what day it is. We'll see you tomorrow for the Poland game. Will they win the group? We'll find out together. Serbia.
Later.